You know, we get so many books unsolicited from publishers and publicists pushing their authors to get on Coast to Coast. And then, of course, we've got our diehard guests that are on the program, and many of them have written books, and we get those too. Well, what happens after so many months? We start to accumulate way too many, either in the cave in St. Louis or back in Los Angeles, and I will not throw them away. So what I normally do is when I'm in L.A., for example, I pack them up and put them on the kitchen table and let people take them and read, or we give them out as contests in St. Louis. I drop them off at places, restaurants, car shops, car wash places for people. That's what I do. I don't want to throw these books away. So what we will do in addition to open lines when we come back, I will ask you a question. If you are right and you get both answers to a movie question, you'll get five books. Handpicked by me. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, open lines. We'll start by going to Bill in North Carolina. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. Hey, yeah. How are you doing?
And let me ask you this trivia question first. If you get it, we'll get you five books, and I'll get your address afterward, okay?
All right.
I need the name of the actor and the name of the movie. This line, say hello to my little friend.
Oh, that's Al Pacino.
And the name of the movie?
In Scarface.
You got it. All right, I'm going to put you on hold when you're done, and we'll get off. Boy, that one went quick. Thanks, Tom. Nice idea. Good. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, you know, I've often heard you say that you feel like something big is coming, but it's just no real definite answer about what's happening. Something climatic, not climatic, but something very big. For our planet.
Some catastrophe, something.
Yes,
something.
Catastrophe, maybe just something changing. I have watched television, like everybody else, for the last several years, and I have seen so many programs that have to deal with survival. I mean, there are like four programs now. There have been, in fact, one of your guests, the Japanese physicist.
Michio Kaku.
Yes. He had was involved in a program about what would happen if an alien invasion came.
That's right.
And there have been several actual programs dealing with this that were sponsored by different programs. And it just seems like this seems to be a running theme about preparing people for survival, what's going to happen. And the thing is, it just really kicked this off for me. It just occurred to me, I was getting ready to go to work. I worked third shift, so this is my night off. Oh, thank you. Anyway, I'm watching a cartoon, Monsters versus Aliens. I know, it's just bizarre. It was actually funny, but it occurred to me while watching this program that they actually put some of the things that all these other programs into this cartoon. And I was like, what is going on? Why are we being pounded with all of these things about survival? Why are we being pounded with all of these things about alien invasion? They started a giant seed bank up in Norway. One of the other things that a friend of mine mentioned, we have a group that listens to your show, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you.
We sometimes listen to it together, sometimes apart. But we got to thinking about how, and this is a little on the political side, the Democratic Party has a lot of things going on about jobs and stuff, but they would not touch the gun control issue at all. I mean, they actually allowed people to carry concealed weapons in the parks. I mean, it just is like they don't want to touch it. And the thing is, when you start putting these dots together, you're like, what is going on? Why are we being prompted with all of this information about how to survive? What would happen if somebody invaded the planet? What if we had a natural catastrophe? And you know, notwithstanding, we've had some pretty dramatic events that happened on the planet here in the last couple of years.
It's almost like they're trying to prepare us without telling us anything.
Exactly. I mean, how do you tell somebody that a catastrophe is coming without creating an enormous panic.
You cannot, Bill. That's the problem. I've always said that governments, for example, would not tell us if an asteroid was headed this way because people would panic. They'd loot. They would just be out of control. I don't think governments will ever tell us, ever. Now, they might tell us after the fact that they diverted it or something like that, but they're not going to tell us if we're getting hit. Bill, I'm putting you on hold. Tom will get your address. As soon as I get back to L.A., we'll bundle up 5 books for you, and we'll get it out to you. Let's go to Shane in Salina, Kansas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Shane.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Wow, I've been listening to you for about 3 weeks now, and I never expected to get through to you on the Skype line, so that was quite cool.
But I'm glad you did. It's a great system, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's a great system, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, especially since I'm using it on my cell phone.
Perfect.
The one thing I want to tell you is a story about when I was hearing some of the other people tell stories from when they were kids, what they saw in the sky, and I thought I'd tell you the story about what happened when my mom and I went to the bank. We were sitting in the drive-through of a Commerce Bank on the north end of Aurora, Colorado, and it faces towards the south, and there's an Air Force base and stuff like that in that area, so we're used to seeing planes. And, you know, I was a kid, always in love with electronics and everything, so I'm watching this plane, and, well, when it was about 12 o'clock to where we were sitting, it stops in midair. I mean, it slowed down and then stopped in midair and sat there for a good 30, 45 seconds, and about, I'd say, 15 seconds. I'm like, Mom, look at that plane. It stopped. And she looks up. She sees the plane, and, no, it's just turning. And I said, no, you can still see the head and the tail of the plane. It stopped. And she sits there and looks at it. We're both sitting there looking at it for about another 10, 15 seconds. And then it shoots off twice as fast as the speed it came up to when it stopped. And I just thought that was so weird, especially since, you know, the Air Force base that's there, you know, presidents have landed there before. So, sure. You know, it's right in the middle of Aurora. There's tons of things built around it. And I've never seen anything strange like that ever since. And I just wanted to tell you the story and see if you've heard any other calls like that from Colorado or any other places where what looks to be a conventional airplane stops in midair.
As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we had a few calls from Colorado with a sighting with something very similar to that. So something, Shane, might be going on, to be sure. Let's go to Jeff in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing
so
great.
I've listened to your show faithfully since 2000, you and Art.
Thank you.
And I never called in. But I have a couple things. One, okay. I wanted to say, I don't know, that girl that had the dream about the Watchers.
Yes.
I don't know. I've listened to L.A. Marzulli a few times and read his stuff. And, you know, the book Enoch and everything I've heard, Watchers are not good. They're demons, evil aliens or whatever. So that's just a little heads up to her. I don't want to run into any Watchers, that's for sure. And the other thing is, like about 2 months ago, I was kind of in a bad way, drinking a lot, doing a lot of drugs, whatever.
Oh, Jeff, don't do that.
I know. But I pray every night to be able to quit the stuff, whatever. And every morning I wake up feeling terrible. And about 2 months ago, I took a fall off a deck, broke my femur, broke every bone on the left side of my body, just about. And my girlfriend and I were not getting along. And I got to tell you, I went to the hospital for 2 weeks. Since that point, since I got out, I've been clean-headed.
Good for you.
We get along great now. And so the fact is, I'm still pretty much laid up. We were going to go on a trip. And we kind of altered our trip, and I kind of got her into your show, and she loves it now. So we just rented a 30-foot RV, and we're going to take 2 weeks, and we're going to hit Yellowstone, head down to Roswell, go check out Area 51. So I was asking if you had any spots you thought we should probably hit.
Oh, first of all, you got to go to the Alien Inn. You got to go to Roswell. It's, of course, go to the museum out there. That whole area is great. Spend a few days in Roswell. You'll have fun. Great people there.
Really?
Yeah. You'll have a good time. And I'm glad you're going in the right direction, Jeff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay the path. So.
It's, you know, hey, what? It's better. It keeps you around on this planet a little longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, and you're never going to, if the shit does go down, I don't want to be in that, you know, state of mind. No. For sure.
Nope. No, you don't. So let's go to Steve in San Francisco, California, west of the Rockies. And Steve, I'm going to try to give you $5. Who wrote this line? You ready?
Sure.
Whose woods these are? Who wrote that? Five bucks if you can get it.
What was it again?
The line was, "Whose woods these are?" It's part of a poem.
Edgar Allan Poe.
But that's okay. Go ahead. What's up?
Well, several years ago, I had a dream. I was like in a bar or something, someplace dark. And it was bright outside, and I heard a lot of commotion. And I went outside, and everybody's running around. And all of a sudden, the sky turned completely black. And a silhouette of the Virgin Mary, like candlelit, it kind of like candlelit silhouetted. And she was like, she had her head bowed down, and she had her hands together praying. And I went back into that dark place, I guess it was a bar or something, and I said, "Everybody, you got to come and look at this." And I was just wondering if you had any ideas what that could have meant.
Well, let me tell you this, Steve. When I was a boy, my mother would go to these prayer meetings, and the statue of the Virgin Mary would be brought in there, and people would pray to the statue, which had been going all around the country, and I assume the world. I don't know. I was just a little kid. But apparently it was crying blood. And it wasn't crying that day, but everybody was there. They were all praying to this statue, and it was truly remarkable. And I've got to tell you, when you look at the things like Fatima, that visitation, and the things that, you know, I watched my mother go through with. She was very religious at the time, and something's going on, something very mystical, something very spiritual is going on. And you know, you may have seen one of these incredible supernatural events. There's no doubt. Let's go to Germantown, Maryland. Andy, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Andy.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
Good. Let me try to give you these books. You ready?
I don't. Okay, yeah. If it was the same question, you're asking.
Nope, I'm going to give you a new one.
Okay, great.
All right. What movie, I need the name of the movie and the name of the actor, said, "You've just seen me do the least presidential thing I do." Five books. Beautiful books. Handpicked by me.
What's that?
Handpicked by me.
Jack Nicholson, Wag the Dog?
No. But go ahead.
All right. Great topic tonight, first hour with the dreams. I've been recording my dreams probably for about a year and a half now, and just wanted to share with you my top two.
Okay.
The first one, it's kind of a funny one. I wake up. All right, I'm at my friend's house, and in the living room with his friend, or with his wife, and we're sitting in there, and they come up to me and they say, "Andy, we have something we want to show you. Come, we're going to go into the bathroom. You stay here, and come on in about 5 minutes." So I sit there, hear some shuffling going on in the bathroom. About 5 minutes later, I walk on up there, knock on the door. They say, "Come on in." They're standing by the toilet.
I'm not so sure I would have gone in there, Andy.
I know.
Two people are standing by the toilet and say, "Come here, I want to show you something." I don't think I'd go in, but go ahead.
Okay, so this is off from here. So he tells his wife, "All right, get on in there." And he says, "We found a portal to another dimension." And she gets up, she stands in the toilet bowl, he flushes the toilet, and she goes spinning down into the toilet bowl.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you. And then he jumps in, and he says, "All right, I'll see you on the other side." He presses the flush button and goes swirling on down in some other dimension. So I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. I can't wait to do this. So I hop in the toilet bowl. Feet are all wet. Jeans are getting wet. Soaked. My boots are soaked. I press the button, and it just flushes. That's it. And
did they ever come back?
No. I mean, I woke up after that, and then that was it.
Oh, man. All right. But like I say, if somebody says, come into the toilet, I want you to look at something. No way, Jose. I'm not doing it. Let's go to Cynthia in Laguna Niguel. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey, before you mentioned anything about books, I was thinking to myself, oh, my, I would love to have his entire library of all those wonderful books he has.
They are wonderful.
I know, but then you mentioned, if you answer these, and I thought, no, just send me all the books. All your books.
I'm gonna give you an option now. You can try to guess the name of this poem or the movie. What do you prefer?
Oh, I'm so bad at both.
Well, pick one.
How about movie?
The movie, all right. I need the name of the movie and the actor that said, "You've just seen me do the least presidential thing I do."
I have no idea. George Bush?
I can't. That's a good answer. I should give you the books just for saying that.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, do. I love books. But, George, I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to try and lighten it up a little bit here. Okay. Now,
you can't. You can't beat the toilet story, I don't think.
No, I'm going to ask you something that probably no one else has ever asked. Okay. Do you ever get tired of people calling and then saying, "How you doing, George? How are you, George?"
Yes, I get tired of it. No, because they all of them are individuals and they all ask as an individual. I've told Tom to try to tell folks, George is fine. Just get right into your thing. But, I understand human nature. And, it's comfortable for people when they talk to someone. Hey, how are you? Hi, how are you? I do that myself. But when you're dealing with so many people around the world, and everybody does that when they call in, sometimes it would seem a little monotonous, I'm sure. Yeah. But I try to do it quickly without making people feel good. By the way, how are you, Cynthia?
Hey, I'm doing well. Now, I've got a question. I am a coaster now, so I don't listen at night usually anymore.
All right, you're in the Coast Club.
That's right, and I get it downloaded from a computer onto my phone that I'm using right now.
For less than 25 cents a day, by the way.
That's correct, and it's worth it. I get to go into the archives. Now, I have a question for you. This blew my mind. It was April 1st. And it may have been 2009 or 2010, but I think it was 2009. And you said in a very sad tone, you said, "Our producer has decided, even though we're one of the highest rated shows in the country, maybe top, you were in the top two at the time," he said, "I'm sorry, but we're changing our programming to Toast to Toast."
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I was waiting at the end the whole evening. I stayed up waiting until 2 a.m. waiting for you to say.
I even have the date I made that announcement because this came really close. It was on April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I
made that announcement. We were going to change the show from Coast to Coast. I was going to be the first nationally syndicated cooking show called Toast to Toast. I'll be back in a moment. Well, here's a glimpse of the rest of the week for you. Ian Punnett, of course, Saturday as he talks about Holy Ghost story with a fellow who went back to his house, his haunted house that he was raised in. On Sunday, George Knapp with a split show. He's going to talk about the latest topics in physics along with information about UFOs and MUFON. And then for the rest of the week, Monday, Dr. Leonard Coldwell is back. We did an hour with him this week on cancer, his book, The Only Answer to Cancer, overwhelming response. We're going to do a full show with him on Monday. Tuesday, Planet X, and Doug Elwell joins us. On Wednesday, a split program as we talk about peak oil and world events that affect all of us. On Thursday, Timothy Green Beckley joins me as we talk about his work in the field of UFOs and what they may be, and then we'll have open lines on Friday on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Skype caller Tony in Galax, Virginia. You're up with us. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. What's going on?
Our life is good. Hey, I want to give you a shot at either five books from a movie or a poem. Which do you prefer?
Oh, actually, I know that poem that you quoted. I know it by heart.
All right, here it goes. Let me throw it your way. Tell me who wrote it. Whose woods these are?
That was written by Robert Frost.
You got it. You get five books when we're all done here.
So, and the reason I know that one is because my senior year, I had to write a paper on stopping by the woods on a snowy evening in comparison to The Road Not Taken.
I love it. It's a great poem, isn't it?
So that's a wonderful poem. And his life is just is wonderful to read. Well, that's not wonderful to read his life, but it's wonderful to read about his life. And, he had so much troubles, but he could portray it in the way that he did.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, the reason that I'm calling, I was telling your screener that I think I either have a doppelganger or a parallel me living in my hometown.
You've seen this person?
No, I haven't seen this person, and I haven't seen this person at all. But let me tell you why I know I have one living there. Right now I live in Galax, Virginia, which is a small town in southwest Virginia, right over the North Carolina border. Mm-hmm. I grew up about 100 miles south of here in the High Point area, High Point, Greensboro area of North Carolina. And I've been here for about 7 years. I often have to go back down there to that area because of doctor's advocacy, and we have a family business, and the closest place to get our supplies for our family business is down in that area, so I often have to go back down there. And so I keep up with my family and my friends and, you know, see my doctors and things. And there have been several times that I have called up friends or family in the High Point area, and they have said, "Hey, we saw you at the store. Did you come into town today?" And I'm like, "No, didn't see. No, we wasn't there." And I was like, "No, that was the day that we was here and we was doing such and such." And like, "No, we saw you. We saw you at the Walmart. You was in the grocery department and you was looking at some stuff. And we know it was you." And like, "Well, did you talk to me?" "Well, we tried to, but you just acted like you just didn't see us, or
that's weird.
Didn't know us, or and
well, you know, they all say, Tony, that we have lookalikes as well, you know.
Well, you know, it's really weird because one guy said, "Well, I saw you at the comic book store," and I'm like, "Well, I hadn't been to that comic book store since I moved here." Because, you know, there's no use in going to that guy.
But he doesn't seem to talk to people, does he?
Well, it's almost like he avoids it. And I'm wondering if it's me or, you know, try not to, you know, draw attention to myself to God
Tony,
forbid.
What if you have a split personality and you don't know you're going to these places?
So, well, you know, that's possible, too. You know, maybe I'm trying to avoid a what's the Back to the Future thing, a anomaly in space, the paradox.
Exactly. The paradox. And you don't want to see that. I don't know, Tony. That's a good question. But anyways, I'm going to put you on hold. Tom will get your information. We'll get you the five books. You're right. Also, Tom has a text message for us. Let's go back to Los Angeles. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, George, does a doppelganger, does it have to be evil?
I've always thought that the doppelganger was opposite who you may be, which means if the person in real life was good, the doppelganger would be evil. If the person in life was evil, the doppelganger would be good. It's the carbon copy of the individual.
So if everybody has a doppelganger, then there's a lot of evil people out there.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on whether the person's good or bad.
But I believe most people are good.
Well, I do too, which means then you have a lot of evil doppelgangers.
That's what I was saying. Hey, Jerry in New Orleans, he texts, he says, George, I was watching the debates on TV last week, and I don't understand why moderators do not make them answer the direct question instead of letting them skate around it. I'm disillusioned.
They should. They should say, hey, wait a minute. You know what? We gave you 3 minutes to answer this. You didn't answer my question.
They never do.
You know, and so let me rephrase that to you one more time. Dot, da, dot, da, dot, da, da. And if they can't give the answer, they should interrupt them and throw them out.
I think you should moderate one.
Oh, I'd have a great time doing that.
Straight to the point.
Anyways, take care of Tony on Skype, and let's mail him some books. Okay?
Have a safe trip to L.A. We'll see you soon.
Okay, let's go next to Michael in Superior, Iowa. You're up with us. Go ahead, Michael.
George, good to talk to you.
Hey, you too.
Thanks for having that wonderful show with Bruce Goldberg.
Hey, he's a good guy.
He's brilliant. His assessment of things was brilliant. George, I'm calling you because about 3 weeks ago, I had a visitation from, I hate to use the word guru, from Sai Baba. And
okay.
He showed me how American soldiers are suffering, how American soldiers of families are suffering. And, you know, there's a very high suicide rate.
Yes, there is.
Going on with the, with him. And I want to kind of explain, this is one area that I've been led into over the years.
And by the way, Michael, it's much higher than we're being told.
It is horrific with some of these people. And I'm noticing this theme coming up on Friday nights on Open Lines. A lot of people are having these kinds of experiences. Now, let me just say that what Dr. Bruce Goldberg said was brilliant, was entirely appropriate. But let's say that he's the doctor in the hospital. The soldiers in the trenches are having experiences that might not fit into his paradigm. In other words, they might need emergency care.
Sure.
So what I'm suggesting tonight is that when people have these kinds of experiences, which I can give you a great example in a minute, which is one of these things that was sent to me specifically. When people are having these kinds of experiences, when you get up in the morning, you throw it out. You clear your head. If you wake up during the night, get up, clear yourself out, clear the energy out. That's very discouraging to it. And when you get up the next morning, don't be thinking about it. There are certain negative entities like grays, for example, that can jump on. Say you go to bed and you're feeling a little anxious, or you might be having a little bit of anxiety of one kind or another. Grays can amplify that so that when you wake up the next morning, it's like you've had 2 months of bad luck.
I didn't know that. They do that. Why do they do that?
Because they're negative. They feed off energy and attention. I can give you a great, a little later in our conversation, I think I can give you a great perspective on this. I can give you a woman's work in Australia that goes back ancient times.
Is she still around?
She is, George.
And send me an email with some information on her, would you?
All right. Do you want me to tell you about the soldier?
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
This would be good for people to hear. So this is one of those things. Try and frame it, and I'll try and be brief. But he was a young man, about 26 years old, going back and working in a store, very bright young guy. 6'3", 230 pounds, you know, just a heavily testosterone-rated guy.
Yeah.
And he decided, you know, that he wanted to go back to, you know, and I was trying to talk him out of it. And I was giving him all of the great information that you purvey on Coast to Coast AM and that General Alex Jones, you know, brings forward. And finally, I said to him, you know, because I just wasn't getting through, I said, listen, have you started to have the interactive nightmares yet? And that just stopped him absolutely stone cold. And he couldn't even speak. And he said, last week, when he sort of got his composure back, he said, last week, I woke up and I was reliving what they call this post-traumatic stress nonsense.
Sure. Yeah.
with his high school friend who had been blown in half with an RPG.
Oh, God.
Now, George, when you experience this, you experience it like put your hands 6 inches apart. Okay, that as we are human beings living in this world, those are the kinds of thoughts and emotions you have. When you experience this on the astral plane, put your hands completely apart. So he was experiencing that emotionally and completely. And he said he jumped up out of bed, ran through the house, grabbed his roommate, woke him up, shook him, and said, "Am I awake or am I dreaming?" Now, those are the kinds of experiences that soldiers are having coming back from those hellholes of Iraq and Iran, which we should not be in.
And they're not getting the right treatment at all. Michael, I've got a couple minutes left. Let me take another call or two. By all means, email me, george@coasttocoastam.com, on that information on the woman in Canada. Let's go to next up, Riverside, California. Philip, let's get you in real fast. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I heard your response to the text message, and I was telling Tommy, your call screener, that I'm a paranormal investigator here in Riverside.
Okay.
And some of the clearest EVPs I've gotten are from cemeteries.
You gotta make them available to us, Philip. MP3 them to us so we can listen to them.
Okay, yeah, because I've gotten EVPs actually from one famous person, Morgan Earp.
Really?
Out here in Colton.
Okay, definitely. Send us an MP3. I'll share it with Dan, our engineer, and we'll listen to them. If we use them, I need your permission on those. But by and large, I've been told that you don't get a lot of good EVPs out of cemeteries, so you might be one of the rare ones. Let's go to Peter in British Columbia, Canada. Hey, Peter, go for it.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This happened to me when I was 22. I tried to get hold of Art Bell way back when, but never did get through. I had a dream one night. I'm walking down the street, and there was these two fellows in front of me, and they were walking down the sidewalk, and in front of them there was $4 bills on the sidewalk. Now, one guy grabbed two of them, and the other guy grabbed the other two. And then they started arguing because one guy saw them first, but the other guy grabbed them first.
Okay.
Anyway, so I told them not to argue. I said, "I saw them before either of you, and
they should be yours."
Yeah, well, I thought so, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the one fellow I knew, his name was Mike. We go across the street, and we go to his yard. I didn't go in the house. They were in there for a couple minutes, and then they came back outside, and we started walking across the grass, and there was a pair of work jeans on the lawn. And Mike picks up the jeans, and he puts his hand in the pocket, and he pulled out a $2 bill. And he goes, "This must be my father's money. These pants have blown off the line." Now, all of a sudden, bang, I'm gone. I'm on the other side of the city, and I'm walking down the sidewalk on the other side of the city, and I'm looking for something, but I don't know what I'm looking for. And I get about halfway down the street, and this car comes up the street, and Mike's in it. And it was a green Capri. So it was a one-way street, and he's coming up the wrong way on the one-way street. And I stepped into this driveway, and he pulled into the driveway, and he was going to pull in and then turn out so he was facing the right way on the street.
Okay.
And there was a car pulling away from the curb. So I put up my hands for him to stop, and he stopped. And the car that was pulling away from the curb just barely missed him. Then Mike lifts up his hands to his face, and he does the motion like he's taking a picture. He's not holding a camera, but he makes like he's taking a picture.
Okay.
Okay. And but he wasn't facing me. He was sort of taking the picture past me. So I turn around, and there's this bright object in the sky, okay? And I don't want to say it was cigar-shaped, but kind of, okay? And it was very, very bright, sort of orange, okay? And I was it seemed like it came right down into the street.
That low?
Yeah, it seemed like it came right down into the street. And I was trying to will them to open and let me in. You know what I mean? Like, open
you were going to go? You would have gone, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to. And that's all I was trying to do. I was just concentrating and concentrating. Like, I astro projected right from a small child. Like, I saw the Earth when I was 3 years old from space. I mean, I didn't even know the Earth was round at 3 years old.
So they've been taking you ever since.
I don't know. I don't know what, like, I don't know, okay? So, anyway, I wake up from this dream, but I'm laying in bed. I'm not sitting up, and I'm not laying down, okay? Like, my back is off of the bed, but I'm not sitting straight up.
You're kind of floating there.
Sort of on an angle. Like, I'm laying there in bed, but at my waist, I'm bent, going up. Like, I was sitting
right,
up, but I only got like
30,
halfway up.
30 seconds left, Peter.
Okay. So, when I wake up, my hands are numb. I couldn't pick up a spoon with my hands. And something woke me up, and I managed to get the door open, and I had a door from my room going outside, and there was another door in the kitchen. And I go to the door in the kitchen, and there was a bum there. And I wanted to finish that dream, right? And so I freaked out at this bum. And he scrambled up the stairs, and I slammed the door, and I get halfway across the kitchen, and I figure, you shouldn't have done that. Like, you should have asked the guy in, fed him, or done something, right?
So I'm not so sure I'd let him in, but I definitely, would have thrown him some food or something like that. Peter, what a time. The week is done. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.